It is the 25th of March, and we have a lot to do today because we have an exam coming up. Escuche, por favor. Excuse me. Lino. Exam number 3 on chapter 17, the calculations for the ratio. Make sure you have the formula sheet, and we'll take a look at a company and do some calculations. They're very simple. Take one number, divide it by another number. The discussion we had on Thursday about can you beat the market, we'll take a look. We'll finish up Chapter 7 today. Take a look at the all-stars of investing, and then we'll do Chapter 8, which is a lot of fluff, folks. A little bit is actually important, not so much for investing, but also because we're humans. Then make sure you've been studying Chapter 5. Review on the Chapter 5 everything, all the characteristics about stocks, and then we'll do the constant perpetual growth model and the discounted cash flow model. So it's a bit of review. And the reason we do that is because you really have to know the stuff. Chapter 5 is very important. Yes?
So, the term is going to be only about 17, 7, and 8?
17, 7, and 8, review of Chapter 5. All the material that we discussed in Chapter 5. Continue to review that. You have to know this in your sleep.
So that is going to come out of the test too.
That's right. Scantron calculator, bring the two formula sheets. I'll have extras, but the formula sheet for Chapter 17, the formula sheet for Chapter 6, one page of notes, and of course you can sneak notes inside the
mark.
Chapter 6 is just these two, constant perpetual growth model and discounted cash flow model. Chapter 5 is all review, what you should have been studying all along. Chapter 17, just can you divide two numbers? Chapter 7, can you beat the market? And Chapter 8 today, what? It's on Thursday. It's this Thursday. This Thursday. And then we're finished with stocks.
One page of notes,
that's what I think it says, unless I'm having hallucinations. Okay, let's continue. But before we do that, thank you, I'll give you somebody else's, oops, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? Nobody has a good joke? Oh, did we look at how we're doing? Having a hard
time.
Yeah, 3D printing as well. We knew it was going to do bad. We knew it was going to be volatile. And volatile means it'll go up really high, and volatile means it'll go down really low. But if we believe that this company is going to be one of the winners, if not the winner, in the 3D printing world, which we know the technology is going to be around, then what would we do? Buy more, because the price is down. We were happy with it at, you know, whatever the price was when we bought it, and now it's 60% of 70% of that. It's down 30%. So buy me, exactly. Now would be a good time to buy more. Yeah, the banks are too big to fail. They're not going to go anywhere. Okay, so we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? No? Did I tell you about the guy who walked into the bar? Okay, so no more bar jokes, right? So now this is a woman. So we have to insult everybody. This woman is so excited, she screeches the tire, slams open the door, yells out, "Honey, I packed the bag! Pack your bags! I won the lottery!" And the husband's so excited, he says, "Oh, that's unbelievable! That's so exciting! What should I pack? Mountains? Beach?" She says, "I don't care, just get the hell out of here! I don't care, just get out of here now. She won the lottery. Get out of here." You guys haven't been married a long time, that's the problem. You guys haven't been. She wants him to go. She's won the lottery, so get out of here. Okay. Okay, fine. What can I say? All right, so now, we discussed the what's called the random walk hypothesis, the efficient market theory. That said, you cannot beat the market. But we have seen many, many people over time who have done better than the market, have been successful investors. So my feeling is, let's learn from them, okay? That doesn't mean I'm going to be another Peter Lynch, another Warren Buffett, another Benjamin Graham. I'm not. But I want to learn from them and be like them and maybe do, you know, you don't have to win big in investing to win. And Peter Lynch, you really need to read his book, One Up on Wall Street. He believes you should buy companies you understand. Buy companies. He even talks about buying the companies that you use. You buy Nike shoes. Hey, maybe Nike's a good buy. Maybe it isn't. You have to do more homework. Warren Buffett says, don't buy a stock, buy a company. In other words, if you wouldn't want to own the entire company, if you could, you don't buy 10 shares. If you would want to own that company and you would make it your own, then go ahead, buy 10 shares or 20 shares. Of course, he's so big now, he buys the whole company. And Benjamin Graham, it was Warren Buffett's teacher. He wrote The Intelligent Investor, which eventually you're going to want to read. Don't read it first because it'll just turn you off. Read One Up on Wall Street, Random Walk Down Wall Street first, then read The Intelligent Investor. And then Sir John Templeton, one of the first mutual fund managers to invest globally. Bill Miller. Poor Bill. You feel sorry for Bill? I don't feel too sorry for Bill Miller. He's a very wealthy man. But he, for 15 calendar years in a row, beat the S&P 500. Unprecedented. He became, unfortunately for him, as far as I'm concerned, the financial media's megastar. 15 years in a row. Anybody baseball fan? Remember Tony Gwynn? Tony Gwynn. He won the betting championship 7 years in, not in a row though, right? Seven times. But nobody's going to do that again. It's unbelievable. Same thing here. Nobody's going to beat the S&P 500 15 years in a row. But this is how fast things can turn on you. In 2006 and 2007, he did poorly. 2008, he really did poorly. And I don't know if you remember, this was the Legg Mason Value Trust that we looked at back in Chapter 4 that really did poorly the last 10 years. He seemed to redeem himself in 2009 when he was up over 40%, beating the 26% return of the S&P 500, but then again trailed badly in 2011, 2010, and they let him retire quietly at the end of 2012. I was surprised they let him stay as long as they did, because in this business, if you produce, you do really, really well. You get showered with love and attention and a whole lot of money. But if you don't do poorly, you don't do well, out the door. What do all these people have in common? They have courage to not follow the crowd, because the conventional wisdom is usually not very wise, folks. And they have an eye for unrecognized value. I call it a sixth sense. They see something that everybody else misses. And they pick up on things that that everybody else is saying, oh, no, poo, 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 poo. And they go, no, you're wrong. Look at this. This is going to do well. Have you ever heard of Garry Kasparov? You ever heard of Anatoly Karpov? They were the two best chess players in the world from the late 80s into the 90s. And they were fighting one another. Every year, one would win the championship, and the other would win. They were going back and forth. And while this was happening, he was asked why he, Garry Kasparov, and Anatoly Karpov were the two best chess players in the world. And his answer was astonishingly simple and direct. We attack better than anybody else, and we defend better than anybody else. You understand? I'm going to go in a duel in chess. I mean, chess is chess. It's not that exciting, but have you ever tried playing somebody really good? And it seems like you know what you're doing, and all of a sudden, and the same thing is here. Can you throw a fastball at 98 miles an hour? Can you hit a fastball at 98 miles an hour? Can you kick a soccer ball 60 yards and make it bend around two defenders? If you can, you're going to make a lot of money. And if you can buy the best companies and avoid the worst companies, you're going to do pretty darn well. Speaking of avoidance, as a mutual fund investor, I'm not looking to find the next Peter Lynch or the next Bill Miller. No, I'm looking to avoid the next Charles Stedman. And this is why we talk about Mr. Stedman. You've heard of Charles Stedman, right? No, and you probably will never hear about him. Let's just do research on the guy. He was a character. He ran his own mutual fund, the Stedman American Industry Fund, from December 1959 until his death in late 1997. His cumulative total return was minus 43% during one of the greatest expansions of the global economy in the world. He lost 43%. He would have done better just putting his money in his investors' money into a savings account or under a mattress. I don't know. Maybe he came from the life insurance industry. This is what Warren Buffett says: be fearful when others are greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful. You understand? Everybody's running that way. What do? Run the other way. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. His mentor, Benjamin Graham, said it this way: buy when most people, including the experts, are overly pessimistic. The world's going to end. The world's going to end. Now's the time to buy. Sell when they are actively optimistic. Everybody's saying, blue skies, it's going to be great. Time to sell. Bear markets are born of pessimism, grow in skepticism, mature in optimism, and die on euphoria, says Sir John Templeton. The time of maximum pessimism is the best time to buy. On a similar note, he also said to buy when others are despondently selling and sell when others are avidly buying requires the greatest fortitude and pays the greatest reward. So, it's 2008. Everything has fallen down. Real estate, gold, oil, stocks, bonds, certainly, mutual funds are all in the toilet. Would you want to buy stocks then? Yeah. You say you would. Intellectually, we say it. But when the world looks like it's about to end, we're ready to start digging for beetle grubs. Famous myths and stupid sayings. It can't go any lower. Oh, yeah? When can it not go to lower? When it hits zero. So when everyone says, oh, look, you know, it's Ford. They were down to a dollar in 2009. Why didn't you buy, Frank? I didn't buy. It can't go any lower. Yes, it can. It can go to zero. It can't go any higher. Huh? People were saying this about Procter & Gamble and Philip Morris. It can't go any higher. Oh, yes, it can. If the earnings continue to grow, there's no limit to how high the price can go. It's only $3 a share. What can I lose? Everyone should say $3. $3, right? Exactly. It does not matter how low the price is. The price can go to zero. You can lose all your money. Price is irrelevant. Market capitalization, valuation is important. And it has to come back. Anybody ever hear of Penn Central? The largest railroad company, been around for over 150 years. 1969, went through bankruptcy and disappeared. How about Kodak? Ever heard of them? You've heard of them, right? And Polaroid? Hemorrhoid? Okay, it's always darkest before the dawn. Well, sometimes it's always darkest before it's pitch black. You like that one? You don't like these, I don't think. You guys are real quiet. When it rebounds to $10, I'll sell. Now, you know what the problem is? We're going to see this in Chapter 8. People don't want to admit they made a mistake. So they bought it at 10, it's now at 6 or 5, and they're waiting for it to come back to 10. It ain't. Maybe it will, but if you wouldn't buy it now, time to sell it. If it goes down 10%, sell. I understand what these people are trying to do. They're trying to get you to keep from losing big. The problem with this is that all stocks, even blue chip stocks, fluctuate greatly. So if every time it goes down 10%, you're going to sell, you're going to lock in your losses. Now might be a better time to buy more. And then it's taking too long. Is it going to take a long time to do? Yes. It's not going to happen overnight, folks. If you think that's going to happen, you're going to make money quickly in stocks, maybe you will. More likely, you'll probably lose. Look at all the money I lost. I didn't buy it. You're not seeing the humor in some of these. This is what people say. Look, I missed that one. I'll catch the next one. Does that usually happen? No. The next one doesn't come along. Is there going to be another Microsoft?
Nope.
Not in the software industry. Is there going to be another Google? Not in the search industry, but Facebook is trying to muscle Google out by having the social, the search go inside the social media. I don't think they're going to do it, but doesn't mean they aren't. There's one example where the next one did come along. Remember Home Depot? You've heard of them, right? Well, they pioneered this big box, you know, home, do-it-yourself thing. And then Lowe's came along and caught up with them. So not quite. They're not as large as Home Depot, but there was a next one. The stock's gone up. I must be a genius. Does that mean you're a genius because the stock's gone up?
No.
There's this saying, never mistake a bull market for brains. In fact, long-term investors who've been in the business a long time, they will tell you that the worst thing that happened to them was that they got in just as the market started to go up. They got in 1982 or 2003, and things just went gangbusters, and they thought they were invincible, and then comes along thinking, and the stock's gone down, I must be an idiot. Just because 3D printing has gone down, are we idiots?
No.
It just means we knew going in that it's going to be a very volatile stock. It's different this time. Have you heard that? When you do, it's time to run. Because technically it's different every time. Every day is different. But that doesn't mean you should pay an astronomical price for a company that probably will never make a dollar's worth of profits, the internet stocks. It's a new era. It's a permanent trend. You like that one? Permanent trend? It's like jumbo shrimp. Straight curve. Come on in. Come on in. Hello. You looking for introduction to investments?
No.
Okay, good. You're welcome to come in. And then here's what your friends are going to tell you. Stocks are too risky. I know what it is. We turn the lights back on. Would you turn the lights back on so they'll wake up? Everybody's going to sleep. Thank you. On the right-hand side, up twice. Thank you. Are you awake now? No? Back to sleep? Okay. You way better with the lights off?
On.
On, okay. Stocks are too risky. People are going to tell you, I don't want to invest. It's too risky. And what can you do? What can you tell them? What are you going to tell them? I might ask you. Who wasn't here on Tuesday or Thursday? Who wasn't here? They passed these around. You're going to say, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of risk involved. But even with all the shenanigans and the hanky-panky and the stupidity, they have still been the best long-term financial investment. Because some of your friends are going to, or family are going to say that. I think you need to go send one over there. Any extras, send them over there. Stocks are risky. They are volatile. But over the long term, we've done okay. Pass them that way. That way. Get them that way. Thank you very much. Wake up. Okay. And that was chapter 7. Can you beat the market? Oh, geez. What is the matter with you people? Just pass them around. Okay. Thank you. All right. So, questions, thoughts? You weren't excited about that. No?